your feet shall tread.
Things like that, you know, and, you know, just calling out because, you know, we know they weren't going to chase us far. But oh, when they caught us. Oh, when they caught us. You talk about Frog City. Somebody, they leave you limp out in the yard. I remember my friend Kurt, Curtis Payne. We grew up together. He came one Sunday morning. I think it was Sunday, maybe Saturday. He came knocking on the door, you know, we're getting ready to go out somewhere. And Mark was there, one of my older brothers. And he had just maybe a couple weeks earlier said some stuff to Mark. He was way away, you know, he was hollering at him, yeah, you ain't gonna do nothing, you know. And he's knocking on the door. Mark answers the door. Sticks his head. Kurt says, oh God. It was all over. He got him, y'all. We went out, and Kurt was laying in the yard. They used to beat us something fierce. I mean, really, so we had to run. I mean, we throw stuff at them, throw stuff in the way, try to get away. I mean, it was desperate. Because they would beat us tough. I mean, hard. But Brett got into a fight once at a school, Emerson school he went to. Got in a fight with a guy that was older than him. And I'm sure Brett started it. But the guy beat him up pretty tough, pretty bad. And he came home, and he was all swollen and bloody and beat up. Brother Rick, who always beat Brett up at home, found out who did it, so they went back up to the school. And the guy was still there. Sorry for the guy. Because my brother Ricky was the fighter. We called him Rick. I don't know if it was demonic or what. Couldn't nobody whoop him. I never saw him get whooped. And he fought all the time. And he loved to fight. But he beat the guy real bad. But as soon as they got back home, he's ready to beat Brett up again. What am I saying? We're family. Enemies outside. We might have little skirmishes here. You know, we might have little arguments here and there. But when there's an enemy outside, family pulls together. Family says, I'm getting you when we finish this, but we're going to take care of this. That's how it was. That's how it was in my house. We learned that. And then, you know, family was first. So, see, there's a strong bond with family. War always causes a banding of brothers. When opposition comes, the cream rises to the top. Amen. That's why we have to relate to churches on another level. Because it's not just about a church. It's about a city church. God wants cities. God wants nations back. And so he's breaking down walls and barriers. And much of it will come through opposition. We must understand that the church is a family and an army. Not just a family. We have fellowship, two fellows in a ship. Fellowship, we fellowship. That's why fellowship is important. You want to know who's going to war with you. You want to know that you can trust them. You want to know that they can shoot. You understand me? You want to know that they can fight and that they'd be willing to fight. And they're not going to get you out there and leave you hanging. The children of Ephraim in Psalm 78 were armed and carrying bows and turned back in the day of battle. You know, the children of Gad were one of the tribes that never got inheritance on the other side of Jordan. They wanted inheritance on the other side. They didn't want to cross over. They said, let us have this. They didn't want what God had purposed for them. So they settled on the other side of the Jordan. Do you know the people that they produced were the Gadarenes? Do you know Legion, the one filled with all the demons, was a Gadarene? This is what they produce, because they refused to go in and possess all the inheritance. Vision brings unity. We are involved in the cosmic war of ages, and we're fighting together, not one another, but against the forces of darkness with our brothers and sisters. Now, look at this. I want you to catch this statement. Unity for the sake of unity will ultimately bring division. My prayer over the last month, almost the past last year, has, Lord, because I'm relating to a lot of pastors in our city. As our brother was saying earlier, there's a shift. There's a lot of things that have shifted and people are more open. So we're trying to find out, how do we relate properly? Unity for the sake of unity will cause division. So what do we rally around? How do we relate? You know, you get a room full of alpha dogs. You know, people that are in charge. You ever been in a room like that? Seriously, have you ever been in a room with all our executives, all our the CEOs, all are the ones in charge, all are the ones the main key guy? If somebody don't humble himself, all you got is a room full of opinions and thoughts and ideas and no unity at all. So somebody's got to humble himself. I like to say it this way, especially apostles that are given strategies. You have to know how to lead from behind. You have to learn how to humble yourself. If God is building the house and he's giving you the blueprint, I like to say it this way, the cream will rise to the top. You got to struggle with people. Just walk in your stature. Let your life do the talking. Amen. Let it express the fullness of Christ. And eventually it will come around to you because you've been called. See, Joseph's brothers hated him because he had a blueprint. Hated him so, you know the story. They put him down in the pit, sold him in Egypt, tried to get rid of him. But when it all came down to it, what? Joseph was standing there on the other side, determining their fate. Unity has to have an object other than itself in order to be achieved. Now, as leaders, and there are many leaders in the church here, leaders in your own right, in your own business, in your own metron. If the church is a family and an army, listen closely, and I take this very personal too. We have to learn when to be generals and when to be fathers. Amen. You got to know when to be a general and when to be a father. Fathers, like my granddaughter, who always, not always, but oftentimes come right on up, tugs, you see her there, come on, I want to praise with you. And she'll throw a little hand up. And I'm praying over all the time. I'm speaking to her all the time. And anytime I say Jesus, she'll look at me. I say, I bless you in Jesus' name, she'll look at me. So her spirit's catching stuff. But fathers are those that lead and that enjoy interacting with others. Fatherly spirit, they love interacting. And when I say father, that doesn't just mean a male father. I mean that spirit, loving fellowship, family, loving to interact. See, you don't need to be one that just, you show up at church, you don't say nothing to nobody. Heard the word, got your Bible, and you gone. It's good that you came and that you come and you hear every service, but say something to somebody. Have some interaction, because why? The church is a family. It's important that we understand family, but not only family. And we need to know, you that are in charge of ministries, and that you need to know when to be a general and when to be motherly or fatherly or whichever it is. You need to know when. You don't need to be trying to be a general when you need to be a father. And you don't need to be trying to be a father when you need to be a general. Because the church is a family and a army. If we're going to align properly in the heavenly realm and make demands and proclamation and decrees that the devil has to respect, you got to be in your right place. And as Issachar understood times to know what to do, to know what to say. And Zebulun could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. They were expert in war and in all weapons of war, and they knew how to stay in rank. That's important in the day and time that we live. Generals rally the troops for battle. We need to know when it's time to spend time with people, and we need to know when it's time to whip people into shape. There's a time to train the troops on how to use their weapons, and there's a time to kick it with the family. Have some barbecue. Come on, listen, I'm telling you, this is what's going to make us effective. Like my brother, as much as he beat us up, and my brother Chubb, when it came to the enemy, he wasn't taking no prisoners. But when it came to family, it was family. Because we used to punch back hard as we could. I know you're going to kill me, but. Two of us, yeah, I'm going to get you, all right. Yeah, don't worry, I'm going to get you. A family of warriors. Give me Exodus chapter 6 quickly. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm family. You're a child of God, you're family. Amen. We got family in Africa. We got family in Trinidad, Houston, Jamaica, Kenya, Rwanda, South Africa, all over the world. We got family. We're the family of God. Israel was an extended family that functioned as an army. Exodus 6, verse 26. Exodus 6, verse 26. This is God talking about Israel. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. Now, they were slaves, and they were just beginning again to form the family of Israel. But God wanted them to become a nation, and so he immediately says, bring them out as armies. Do you know, even when Jesus performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, he had them sit down in companies. In other words, there was an alignment. There was a set position he set them in. He didn't just start throwing fish out. You know, he always creates, sets in order, and then sets it in motion. Never forget that. Order. He creates. He sets order. And then he sets it in motion. Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. All services are live streamed. Thank you.